طيب، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue with the العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى، with the شرح of our beloved and noble Sheikh, not our, but one whom we love, not that we were ever his students, Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen عليه رحمة الله. And by Allah's grace, we're towards the end of this book, which is saddening, because it just feels like, you know, you don't want to finish it. But, you know, sometimes you just have to finish the book. The chapter which we will be addressing this evening is Faslun fil Iman. It's a new chapter, a chapter on Iman. Now, Iman, let me use the term Iman for now, as opposed to the English translation, because you will see, according to the Sheikh, it's not something that is very much agreed upon in terms of the best depiction of the Arabic word in the English language. We usually say belief or faith. But we will see that this may or may not do the job. It does, but there's more to it. على كل حال, that will become clear soon. So, Iman. قوله من الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, فصل, a chapter, ومن أصول أهل السنة والجماعة أن الدين والإيمان قول وعمل. And from the fundamental principles of أهل السنة والجماعة is that the religion, that's one meaning of deen, could also mean recompense, and إيمان are قول. What does قول mean? What does قول mean? Those who don't know Arabic. قلي وقلت له. You don't hear people قلي قلت له. What does قلي وقلت له? إذن قول, a say, a statement. صح? That's why, you know, you can always bring the broken Arabic that is used outside. Try to use it to understand something in English. You know, معلوم, معلوم. Actually, معلوم comes in the Quran. ميقاتي يوم معلوم. It comes in more than one occasion. معلوم meaning known. Something that is known. So these words actually, even though they're not the best words in the world, but they still actually carry some of the meaning which is used in the Arabic language. So قول is a statement, expression, something which one says. عمل, deeds. Work, عمل can mean work, and عمل as in where you work, and عمل is actually the actual work which you do. It's like the place where you go and the thing which you do, it's all عمل. Deeds in this regard. الدين. Now the Shaykh will give us some vocabulary. الدين هو ما يدان به الإنسان. Why did we say الإنسان يا عبد المجيد and not الإنسانة? نائب فاعل. Why, mashallah, تبارك الله. Why يدان, is it passive or active? It's in a passive voice. مبني للمجهول. صحيح؟ أحسنت. أو يدين به, أو يدين به, or that it's that which the person is recompensed for, or that which he follows as a religion. فيطلق على العمل ويطلق على الجزاء. It is used to denote the actual action, and it is used to denote the actual recompense. ففي قول تعالى ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين. يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. Then what makes you know, what will make you know about يوم الدين? Is it the day of religion? No. The day of recompense. مالك يوم الدين. The day of religion or the day of recompense? Recompense. Here deen means recompense. The day on which no soul possesses any benefit for another soul and the matter is all for Allah. فَالْمُرَادُ بِالدِّينِ فِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ الْجَزَاءِ. What is intended by the term deen in this ayah is recompense. So it's good to know these meanings. وَفِي قَوْلِ تَعَالَى وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as a deen for you. Is it religion or recompense? Religion. Religion. Now of course, we use religion يعني for the sake of simplification. Otherwise, if you get technical, religion is not really an adequate translation for deen. Because religion is used to deal with whatever is spiritual. It does not include social life, economical life, and other aspects of life. So that's why you find that they make a difference between the state and religion. Say they, you know, the church and these are not the same. So Islam is not that way though. Islam is actually the combination of state and spirituality. So religion is actually, doesn't really do the job. But nowadays when you speak to people, when you say religion, they think of that which has to do with your spiritual faith. So we'll use it, you know, for the sake of simplification. Otherwise, technically speaking, it's deen is more than that. It's not just religion, it's a way of life. It's a complete, comprehensive way of life, dealing with your relationship with the Creator, then your relationship with the creation and with everything which Allah created. Whereas usually religion in Western, you know, terminology does not include all of that. It's just between you and your God, whatever that God is. Everything else is none of their business. So yeah. أي عملا تتقربون به إلى الله. Here deen means it's like a deed. It's like the religion of Islam, which is the action which you're doing, through which you seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through which you seek nearness to Allah, through Islam. ويقال كما تدين تدان أي كما تعمل تجازى. And there's a common expression, very common. Some people think it's a hadith, it is not. The way you deal with people, you will be dealt with. What you, what is it? You sow what you reap or something. You reap what you sow, whatever, yeah. The idea is whatever you put forth, then that which you get is equivalent to what you put forth. If it's good, good. If it's bad, bad. Now, in Buddhism, it's karma, you know. They believe in this karma stuff that you die, and if you died in the state of being an evil person, then you'll come back as a cockroach, as an ant, something insignificant. Whereas if you're good, you come as a king or something like that. You sow what you reap. You sow what you reap, yeah. Isn't what I said? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. So, na'am. Aina ana? Aywa. Ay kama ta'amal tujaza. The way you, according to what you do, you'll be recompensed. That's what it is at the end of the day. وَالْمُرَادُ بِالدِّينِ فِي كَلَامِ الْمُؤَلِفُ رَحِمُ اللَّهِ الْعَمَلِ. Now what is intended by deen here, in the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah, is it religion or is it the recompense? The religion. It is the religion. وَلَكِنْ فِيهَا وَأَمَّا الْإِيمَانِ فَأَكْثَرْ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ فِي اللُّغَةَ التَّصْدِيقِ. Now let us define iman. We defined deen. We said it has multiple meanings. Waalaikum salam. Is it 20 riyal late fee? You pay it fi sabilillah.
You start right after
Maghrib. Right after Maghrib, chief. Tayyib. Now, iman, according to most people of knowledge, the people of knowledge, iman linguistically is tasdiq, belief, or to believe. Like when you tell me something, you say, brother, I got 5 riyals in my pocket. I say, I believe you. So iman means to believe in something. طيب. ولكن في هذا نظر. The Sheikh said, but this is debatable. لأن الكلمة إذا كانت بمعنى الكلمة فإنها تتعدى بتعديتها. This is complicated. I'll try to explain. If a word is synonymous to another word, then you must be able to have the same prefixes and the same kind of suffixes. Or you should be able to precede it with a word, meaning some words can precede both. If these two words are synonymous completely, you can precede both words with another word. If you can add it before one word, while you cannot add it before the other, then they're not synonymous in the ultimate sense. Of course, in the English, this may not be applicable altogether. But in the Arabic, it is. وَمَعْلُومَ أَنَّ التَّصْدِيقَ يَتَعَدَّ بِنَفْسِهِ وَالْإِيمَانَ لَا يَتَعَدَّ بِنَفْسِهِ. And he's speaking here about the dhamair and the pronouns. The pronouns and those which are connected to the word, and whether you can add it to its own self or you cannot. You will see with the example. فَنَقُولُ مَثَلًا صَدَّقْتُهُ. I believed him. When he told me something, I believed him. وَلَا تَقُولْ آمَنْتُهُ. You don't say, meaning I believed him, amantuhu. You can say saddaqtuhu, but you cannot say amantuhu. What is the Sheikh trying to prove? That they're not linguistically, meaning iman does not mean tasdiq. Because you can say this and you cannot say that. Alaykum salam. They beat you with a whole bottle. طيب بل تقول آمنت به. You say I believed in him. So now you have to add here حرف الجر, the preposition in. You understand? آمنت به. You don't say صدقت به. You say صدقته automatically with the word iman. آمنت به. That's the way the language works. أو آمنت له. Same thing. I believed for him, in him. Same thing. فلا يمكن أن نفسر فعلا لازما لا يتعدى إلا بحرف الجر بفعل متعد ينصب المفعول به بنفسه. Grammar. We cannot, you know, explain a word which must be preceded with a preposition, with a word that does not and has a whole other structure in the sentence. ثم إن كلمة صدقت لا تعطي معنى كلمة أمنت. Furthermore, the word itself, صدقت, does not carry the same exact meaning of أمنت. فإن أمنت تدل على طمأنينة بخبره أكثر من صدقت. When you say أمنت, it indicates relaxation, comfortability with what this person told you, which is not found in the term صدقت. Saddaqt is like you believe, but you know you may be skeptical. Amant is like there's relaxation, there's yaqeen, there's like certainty associated with it. ولهذا لو فسر الإيمان بالإقرار لكان أجود. This is why if we were to explain iman as iqrar, iqrar is like admitting or acknowledging or accepting or you know words along these lines. Yuqir meaning to admit, like someone committed a crime, وَأَقَرَّ عَلَى جُرْمِهِ, he admitted his crime. Or to acknowledge also. لَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ, that would have been more eloquent, would have been better, would have been superior. فَنَقُولَ الْإِيمَانَ الْإِقْرَارَ وَلَا إِقْرَارَ إِلَّا بِتَصْدِيقُ. We say iman is then iqrar, acknowledgement. And you cannot have acknowledgement unless you believe first. I must believe in what you tell me for me to acknowledge it. If I didn't believe it, there's no acknowledgement. There's denial. فَنَقُولْ أَقَرَّ بِهِ كَمَا نَقُولْ أَمَنَ بِهِ. We say now, أَمَنَ بِهِ, believed in him. أَقَرَّ بِهِ, he acknowledged him. Now we have, linguistically, they're you know, interchangeable. As opposed to إيمان and تصديق, which are not. وَأَقَرَّ لَهُ كَمَا نَقُولْ أَمَنَ لَهُ. And we can say, same thing. He acknowledged for him, like we say he believed for him. هذا في اللغة. Now all this is what? Linguistically. All this is linguistic. We haven't even went into the... Because you must be aware of the fact that Arabic words had a definition prior to Islam. Fair enough? Once Islam came about, these same words maintained their linguistic definition, then they also took on a legislative definition. It was no longer only linguistic, because salah back then was many different things. Primarily dua in the language. Then when Islam came about, salah became a whole set of acts of worship, you know, with conditions and obligations and arkan, pillars. It's a long thing for you to do salah. But now all of it is called salah. Even though if you go back to the language, comes from sila, which is connection. And so prayer, dua, is that is what is prayer. Now you speak to the average Christian or average kafir, and you say, you know, say your prayer. He's not going to go do wudu and make salah. His prayer is, he's going to supplicate, invoke this God which he worships. That's what prayer is. In Islam, even the term English, the English term prayer, is no longer simply asking. It became something else as well. So there was the linguistic meaning of prayer, and then the Islamic meaning of prayer. As in the Arabic language, obviously. So now all this, we were dealing with the term iman, لغةً, linguistically. الآن شرعاً وأما في الشرع. As for the legislation, قال المؤلف رحمه الله قول وعمل. It is a deed and a statement, عفواً, and a deed. وهذا تعريف مجمل. This is now a general explanation or definition. فصله المؤلف رحمه الله. The مؤلف, the author, Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله himself, he detailed that. بقوله قول القلب واللسان وعمل القلب واللسان والجوارح. What is it? It is the statement of the heart and the tongue. The statement of the heart and the tongue. The statement of the heart. Pay attention. The statement of the heart. وعمل القلب. And the action of the heart. And the tongue and the limbs. Again, Shaykh al-Islam explained. Iman, Islamically, legislatively is the statement of the heart and the statement of the tongue. The statement of the heart and tongue. And the action, the deeds of the heart, the tongue and the limbs. فجعل المؤلف رحمه الله للقلب قولا وعملا وجعل للسان قولا وعملا. The author then, he made for the heart a statement and an action, and he made for the tongue a statement and an action. So he attributed statements and actions to the tongue and the heart. أما قول اللسان, let's understand that. أما قول اللسان, the statement of the tongue, فالأمر فيه واضح. This is apparent. Don't you say things with your tongue? I hope so. وهو النطق, and it is to utter something. وأما عمله, as for the actions of the tongue, what would that be? The Shaykh said the movements of the tongue. The movement of the tongue. وليست هي النطق. And it is not the actual speech. It is not the actual uttering of statements. بل نطق ناشئ عنها إن سلمت من الخرس. The sound or the uttering is a byproduct of the movement of the tongue, provided that you're not mute. Otherwise, I have a relative who can't speak. But when he talks to you, he moves his mouth. He moves his mouth and he moves his tongue, but he uses his hands and he just makes, you know, you cannot understand what he's saying. So he's still moving the tongue, but it is not necessary that you're able to say something. So saying something with the tongue is based on the movement. So there's the movement and then there's the speech. The speech comes with the movement happens, provided that you don't have any speech disabilities. Right? Like those who stutter or things along these lines, which cannot say the word, they repeat the same letter many different times. أما قول اللسان, عفوا, وأما قول القلب فهو اعترافه وتصديقه. The statement of the tongue is the admission, as in not the admission to be entered somewhere, but to admit, and the acceptance, the belief of the heart. وأما عمله, this is what you have in there. وأما عمله فهو عبارة عن تحركه وإرادته. The actions of the heart is the movement of the heart and the intents, the intentions which you have. مثل الإخلاص في العمل, like being sincere in doing something. فهذا عمل القلب. This is the action of the heart. Pay attention. It is the action of the heart to be sincere. Otherwise, what are we going to attribute it to? It has to be the heart. What part? The action of the heart. وكذلك التوكل والرجاء والخوف. Similarly, توكل. What is توكل? طيب, if we give you now the noun, give me the noun. Don't give me a verb. I said توكل. طيب, from the same verb you used, get the noun. Did you say rely? What's the noun? Reliance. We have to sharpen our, you know, vocabulary for the sake of Allah. It's for da'wah purposes. So you say rely, reliance. If I give you a noun, give me a noun. If I give you a verb, give me a verb. If I give you a noun, don't give me a verb. Tawakkul is not relying on Allah or rely on Allah. It is reliance. Yatawakkal, to rely on Allah, which is the infinitive. Ala kulli hal. Aina ana, na'am. Warraja, hope. Raja is hope, meaning to hope for the goodness which Allah promised. والخوف, fear. فالعمل ليس مجرد الطمأنينة في القلب بل هناك حركة في القلب. So the عمل, the deeds, is not merely the tranquility of the heart, rather there's movement in the heart. There's movement in the heart for these, for خوف, for you know, رجاء and whatever. In fact, Allah described that in إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. صحيح. Verily, the true believers are those when Allah's name is mentioned, their hearts tremble. So there's movement in the heart. Many different ayat. وَيُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Their hearts are in a state of trembling because they're returning to their Lord. So, you know, I'm just giving you some evidence just in case you're saying, how does the heart move, you know? You keep thinking of the pumping of the heart. That's a whole other discussion. وَأَمَّا عَمَلُ الْجَوَارِحِ. As for the actions of the limbs, فَوَاضِحٌ. That is also clear, evident, apparent. رُكُوعٌ. What is ruku'? Ruku'. Bowing. Sujood. Prostration. Qiyam.
Standing.
Good. Qu'ud. Sitting. فَيَكُونُ عَمَلِ الْجَوَارِحِ إِيمَانًا شَرْعًا. فَيَكُونَ عَمَلِ الْجَوَارِحِ إِيمَانًا شَرْعًا لِأَنَّ الْحَامِلِ لِهَذَا الْعَمَلِ هُوَ الْإِيمَانِ. So then the actions of the limbs are considered iman in legislatively. It's they're considered iman. The movements, the ruku', sujood, the things you do are, why? Because you do them, what causes you to do them is what? Iman. The reason why you made ruku' and sujood was what? Iman, nothing else. So they're considered like that in this regard.
فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ أَيْنَ الدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانَ يَشْمَلُ هَذِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ.
Beautiful. If a person were to say, what is the evidence that iman includes all of these things which you mentioned? Statement of the tongue, action of the tongue, statement of the heart, action of the heart, action of the limbs. What's the evidence? Is this a valid question or invalid question? Valid or invalid? It's a valid question. Anyone has a right to ask. In fact, our deen is based on that. And we've only destroyed ourselves to some extent because we abandoned this aspect of our deen. Because the people took the shuyukh and the ulama as, you know, like priests and popes. And so whatever they would tell them, they will obey them without verification. So, you know, the sheikh of a tariqah and the Sufi, you know, Sufi nonsense, he brings all this kind of junk from his mind to his murids and all these students, and they have no right to question him about what he's doing and why he's doing it. So, sami'na wa ata'na to the sheikh. And so the byproduct, all these people go astray, then they teach it to their family and they impose it on them who go astray, and the sunnah is gone, and the Muslims are led astray because of this idea of, you know, we don't ask. No, anyone has the right, hey, you're dividing all this. Where do you get this from? Where did you get this from? You have the right to ask. Of course, you have to ask in a nice way. You know, it doesn't mean that you become rude. But you have the right to ask, where did this come from? Are you just, you know, coming up with things on your own? Because if it is so, then we will leave it alone. So we will see. قُلْنَا, we will say to him, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الْإِيمَانِ. Iman is أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. We all know that. To believe in Allah, His angels, His scriptures, the messengers, the last day and the preordainment, the good and the bad thereof. فهذا قول القلب. This is the statement of the heart. This is the statement of the heart. أما عمل القلب واللسان والجوارح. As for the actions of the heart and the tongue and the limbs, فدليله قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. The evidence is the same of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإيمان بضع وسبعون شعبة. سبعون عفوا شعبة. Iman is 70 some branches. Iman is 70 some branches. أعلاها, the highest of which, قول لا إله إلا الله. Saying there's no deity worthy of worship but Allah. وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق. And the least of Iman is to remove harm from people's way. Ha! Huh. So now, when you remove harm, what are you using? Limbs. You're using limbs. And before that, your heart. Your heart, your Iman. The action of your heart which led you to do this. So this is the evidence. Now of course there's a lesson. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Modesty, shyness is a branch of Iman. And that is the action of a heart as well, which is not seen. It may come, it may display on a person's behavior, but it is in the heart essentially. So of course the lesson which we learn from this hadith is that if you have a car, you better drive around with a plastic bag hanging out from your gear shift, you know, thingy. And I hope that you're not one of these people who, you know, when they finish eating their bake or whatever they have in the car, they simply roll down the window and just toss it out the window, which is the most reprehensible, disgusting behavior a human being can involve in. You know, cats, when they want to do their private thing, their, you know, going to the bathroom, it covers up, you know, the stuff. You know, it uses dirt. You see with the zan going like this. Yeah, and even the animal has a consideration for the people around. And you have people that I don't understand sometimes, you know, practicing, so-called practice people. They open, I see them all the time. He will open his car and dump his trash. Everything, you know, seeds, pumpkin seeds, you know, fist, whatever they call it. He was eating and napkins, which they were used. All of them and go, because in his mind, you know, there's a guy who works, you know, the brothers who work around, you know, cleaning the streets. He may come to this place after 2 weeks, you know. If he makes it around to, then the wind will take it all over. It doesn't make any sense, this idea. So everyone should buy it and have it. When you go to Danube or whatever you shop, they give you all these plastic bags. Don't throw it away. Put it in your car. And every time you have trash, fill it up. When you're done, throw it in trash. Khalas. End of story. But this is good because the hadith, imatatul adha, you're removing harm. Meaning if you're walking and you saw harm, you remove it. How about if you put it? If part of your iman is to remove it when it existed, you're not the one who put it. But your iman is so, and this is the least of iman. The least of iman is that you still think about the other Muslims, this may harm them. So what about when you are the one, meaning no consideration, or jahl? Not that they're just ignorance, it's just ignorance and being somewhat uncivilized. But inshallah, slowly but surely, the Muslims will grow out of these bad habits, and you know, we will do what is Islamically acceptable. جميل نعم إذن فهذا قول اللسان وعمله وعمل الجوارح. This is the statement of the tongue, the actions of the tongue, and the actions of the limbs. والحياء عمل قلبي. And modesty or shyness is an action of the heart. وهو انكسار يصيب الإنسان ويعتريه عند وجود ما يستلزم الحياء. It is a form of self-belittlement. انكسار is like, you know, looking down at yourself. Which afflicts the person whenever there's something which makes him shy. And we know the Prophet ﷺ used to be more shy, and they would see it on his face. He would be more shy than the virgins in the smallest or the most private part of their house. You know, how shy is a virgin who doesn't even mix with the people? In fact, in her own house, she's in the most private area. The Prophet ﷺ used to be more shy than that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So being shy and being, you know, having this kind of thing is totally Islamic. Now, inkisar, notice, huh? The word inkisar, I mentioned this last time in the khutbah translation, I mentioned again in case you have not attended. Make sure you distinguish between the seen and the tha. Okay? Because inkisar, one of the derivatives is kasira. Kasira. And many people who don't make that distinction, when they're getting up from ruku', they say, Allahumma rabbana laka alhamdu hamdan kathira, which is a grave error. Hamdan kathira. Kathira. So we have to make sure we say kathira, no kathira, because it distorts the meaning. And they say, like, you know, one of the brothers who had a problem with this, someone said, you know, and it's among the Arabs, they when someone does something good and people want to praise them, they say, كَثَّرَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَمْثَالِكَ كَثَّرَ, may Allah make many people like you. So the guy did not know the distinction. He said, كَثَّرَ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَمْثَالِكَ, may Allah break up and destroy people like you. He said, and like you too. And وَمِنْ أَمْثَالِكَ أَيْضًا, make dua against me, I make dua against you. So, you know, you don't want to do this to a brother. That's the same thing as the English one, thank you. Did I tell you about the thank you?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I was doing interviews with some brothers from a particular background, doesn't matter where it is. Interviews for English, teaching English, for instructors and teachers. Anyways, so one of them walked in, and he said, I said, welcome brother, welcome, grab a seat, I'm the one interviewing him. He said, thank you. I said, sorry, he said, thanks. I said, okay, brother, you know, there's a boat floating on the surface of the water, and then suddenly it goes down. Okay? And so what do we call this in English? He said, oh my God. I said, no, man. I'm not telling you for a reaction. This is real life. I said, I'm not telling you, brother, what your reaction is. Oh my God. I'm saying, well, the verb. What is the verb when something is on top and then it goes down? What do we call it? He still doesn't get it. I said, fine. If I went under the water, what do we say? He said, drown. I said, excellent. That's for human beings. But if it's a ship or something like that, what do we use? He said, sink. I said, excellent. So why did you say to me, thank you? You're making dua that Allah, you know, causes me to sink. He said, ah, thank you. I said, brother, the interview is over. Barakallah feek. This is the door. Catch you later. You're not going to be teaching English in our school. Anyways, this is real life, by the way. I don't think I'm ever going to forget this one, inshallah. After all this, like, ah, thank you. Again, he told me thank you. Okay, Sheikh, what was the point of me telling you this whole story? Ala kulli hal, so this is the language. We must work on our language. Of course, nobody's perfect. But whatever language you speak, you have to try to perfect it for da'wah purposes. For da'wah purposes, so you will not... I will give you another story, just in case you know you don't believe me. A new Muslim, or a non-Muslim, in some other country, Western country. So all these Arabs were giving him da'wah, okay? And they gave him books and all this stuff, and you know, after a long process, the person finally became a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. They taught him tawhid and everything. So now one Arab brother, Zallah Khair, and it just happens to be Arab. I'm not trying to pick on the Arabs. I'm one myself. All of us are children of Adam. I don't believe in this racist thing in this world. Ala kulli hal. But anyways, the brother came and said, brother, you know, when it's all done, he said, brother, please pray to me. And the man was like, what? He said, pray to me. He was like, you've been giving me da'wah for tawheed for 1 month, and at the end you want me to pray to you? He didn't say pray for me. If he said pray for me, yani make du'a for me, he said pray to me. So the man was traumatized. He thought that they were lying to him, trying to tell him Islam is about tawheed. So at the end, this Arab can come and tell him, I'm going to be your God. I am your God. Pray to me. So the guy panicked. And he went to the other da'ya who speaks English. He said, man, this guy told me to pray to him. He said, no, man, relax. He means, you know, he wants you to make supplication. I was like, ah. So now one preposition killed it. You know, pray to me versus pray for me. Now, prepositions are very difficult in English, but just an example of why the language is important. Alhamdulillah, that guy had found someone to explain to him what the brother intended. Otherwise, he could have went home thinking that Islam, you know, tells you to, at the end of the day, to pray to an Arab, which is not very good. So, you know, that's all language. He then, فَتَبَيَّنَ بِهَذَا أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَشْمَلْ هَذِي الْأَشْيَاءَ كُلَّهَا شَرْعًا. So this proves that Iman includes all of these things legislatively. The things which you mentioned earlier, the tongue and the heart. وَيَدُلُّ لِذَلِكَ أَيْضًا قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Another evidence for that is the statement of Allah, and Allah was never to waste your Iman. Does anyone know the context of this ayah? It's in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 143. Does anyone know the context of this ayah? وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ.
I think it's about the prayer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything more particular? It's when the... Well, let me just read what the Shaykh is going to say. وَيَدُلُّ لِذَلِكَ أَيْضًا قَوْلُ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ قَالَ الْمُفَسِّرُونَ أَيْ صَلَاتَكُمْ إِلَى بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. The Muslims in the beginning were facing بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. Before the revelation came, فَوَلِّ وَجَّكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. So now once that change happened, and now they started facing the Kaaba, some of the Sahaba were worried about the Muslims who had died already and had prayed all their lives towards بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ, that their salah may have been of no benefit because it was in that direction other than the one which Allah wants now. And so they came and they brought this information or this concern to the Prophet ﷺ, due to which Allah revealed this ayah, Allah was never to waste your iman. So he called salah iman. He called the salah which they're doing iman, which shows you that iman is actually deeds as well. It is not something that is just subtle, as the murji'ah will say. So that is the evidence for that. فسمى الله تعالى الصلاة إيمانا مع أنها عمل جوارح وعمل قلب وعمل لسان. So Allah called Salah Iman, even though it has the actions of the limbs, the actions of the heart, and the actions of the tongue. All of them are included in Salah, and the whole thing was called Iman. Powerful evidence and proof.
هذا هو مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة.
مذهب أهل السنة والجماعة. مضاف إليه. This is the madhab, not the madhab of the four madhahib. The madhab meaning this is the way. That madhab comes from ما ذهب إليه. What someone chose to go to, as in what someone chose to take as an opinion. The madhab, the way, in other words, is of أهل السنة والجماعة.
وشموله لهذه الأشياء الأربعة لا يعني أنه لا يتم إلا بها.
Now, the fact that Iman includes all of these four matters does not mean that Iman does not exist unless all of them exist. Doesn't mean that Iman is not there unless all four exist.
بل قد يكون الإنسان مؤمنا مع تخلف بعض الأعمال.
A person may be a believer while abandoning some of the deeds. Some of the deeds which one should abandon.
لكنه ينقص إيمانه بقدر ما نقص من عمله.
But his Iman will decrease proportional to what? It's proportional to the decrease of his deeds. The lesser the deeds, the lesser the Iman. The more the deeds, the more the Iman. Which means you don't have to have all the deeds for you to have the title of Iman. You can have the title of Iman while missing out on some, but as you miss out on these, you will miss out on the level of Iman. Because we will see Iman is like a gauge. You know, if you remember the lecture running on empty, it was started running on empty because it was about Iman. And the idea is that, you know, some people barely have any Iman. Right above the E, or right at the E. Whereas it can go all the way up. Like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, whose Iman was so powerful, he was called as-Siddiq. And when they came and told him about the Isra and Mi'raj, and everybody was, even some of the Muslims were in doubt. And he said, the Prophet said this. They said, yeah, he said, I believe him concerning what he brings as information from revelation from Allah. I'm not going to deny him concerning this. If he said it, I believe him. So it was that level of Iman and Yaqeen which he was upon. Radiallahu anhu wa ardah wa la'natullahi ala man la'anah.
Na'am. Wa khalafa ahli sunnah. في هذا طائفتان بدعيتان متطرفتان.
I like it. I like it.
Those who opposed Ahl Sunnah in this regard are two groups. بدعيتان, innovators. متطرفتان, extremists.
Two extreme innovators or innovating groups.
Now, they opposed Ahl Sunnah. الطائفة الأولى, the first, المرجئة.
Remember المرجئة.
يقولون إن الإيمان هو الإقرار بالقلب وما عدا ذلك فليس من الإيمان.
They say Iman is simply and strictly the acknowledgement of the heart. Anything other than that is not Iman. Meaning, if in your heart you just simply have knowledge, information, that there's only one object of worship, Allah, that there are angels whom He sent, and He gave delegated tasks to, and He has messengers whom He sent, and revelations which He revealed, and the last day, simply acknowledging that, even if it doesn't lead you to do anything, it doesn't matter. The mere acknowledgement makes you a believer. Who does that make a believer? According to this principle, who becomes a believer?
Murja.
No. They say, once you have acknowledgement of these six pillars of faith, you're a believer. It doesn't have to materialize. It doesn't have to manifest in actions. If this was correct, who becomes a believer? Iblis, 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 Satan. Because Satan, he knew La ilaha illallah. Come on. He knew Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi salam. He knew the angels, he was worshipping Allah with them. He knew the scriptures. He inspires the deviants to distort, like they distorted the gospels and what have you. He knows everything, all these six pillars of faith. Shaitan is not unaware of them. He doesn't deny them. He knows them, and he said in the Quran, "Inni akhafu Allah, I fear Allah in this area." It makes him a believer, ya jama'ah. It makes Fir'aun a believer. It makes Abu Talib. Didn't Abu Talib know? Didn't he believe that his nephew was the messenger of Allah? He did. Did he accept it though? No. According to them, he's a believer as well. Because he acknowledged them. He knew that the Prophet was the messenger of Allah. It was his tribalism and nationalism and whatever, you know, ancestral, you know, belief, which led him to remain upon the false deen. So it's a very dangerous claim, because it gives the title of iman to every wicked creature. Every kafir becomes a believer once he has belief in these six. Not every, but anyone who believes in these six. Of course, atheists are excluded. But in the fitrah, I mean, this is in the fitrah of every human being. Everyone must have acknowledged these things, because Allah Azza wa Jal created us in His fashion. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ الْإِيمَانِ لَا يَزِيدُ وَلَا يَنْقُصُ عِنْدَهُمْ. This is why, according to them, iman does not increase nor does it decrease. لِأَنَّهُ إِقْرَارُ الْقَلْبِ. Because it is merely the acknowledgement of the heart. وَالنَّاسُ فِيهِ سَوَى. People are alike. People are all alike in this regard. فَالْإِنسَانُ الَّذِي يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ كَالَّذِي يَعْصِ اللَّهَ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ عِنْدَهُمْ. The one who worships Allah and enslaves himself to Him during the night and the day is equal to the one who disobeys Allah during the night and the day. Meaning the whole night and day he's disobeying Allah, and this one the whole night and day is obeying Allah. To them they're equal. They are equal. مَا دَامَتْ مَعْصِيَتُهُ لَا تُخْرِجُهُ مِنَ الدِّينِ. As long as the sin does not expel him from religion. Something that is not an act of kufr. Any other sin, it doesn't affect him. Khamr, fine. Zina, fine. All this doesn't affect him. He and the one who's worshipping Allah all day and night, the same to them. Wild. فَلَا وَجَدْنَا رَجُلًا يَزْنِي وَيَسْرِقْ وَيَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرُ وَيَعْتَدِي عَلَى النَّاسِ. If we find a person who's fornicating or committing adultery, and he's stealing, and he's drinking alcohol, and he's transgressing against people, وَرَجُلًا آخَرٌ مُتَّقِيًا لِلَّهِ بَعِيدًا عَنْ هَذِي الْأَشَكُلُ. Another one who's fearful of Allah, mindful of Allah, is avoiding all of these things. لَكَانَ عِنْدَ الْمُرْجِعَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ وَالرَّجَاءَ سَوَى. According to the murji'ah, they are equal in iman. وَالرَّجَاءَ. كُلُّ مِنْهُمَا لَا يُعَذَّبْ. Neither one of them will be punished. لِأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالِ غَيْرْ دَخِلَ فِي مُسَمَّى الْإِيمَانِ. Because deeds have nothing to do with iman. He won't even be punished. الطائفة الثانية. You think the other one are better? Well, they may be better in some ways, but they're still bad. الخوارج والمعتزلة. الخوارج, the خارجites, معتزلة, معتزلites. That's the English for you. قالوا إن الأعمال داخلة في مسمى الإيمان وأنها شرط في بقائه. They said that deeds is included in the comprehensive meaning or title of iman. And it is a condition for its existence. فَمَنْ فَعَلَ مَعْصِيَتَهُ مِنْ كَبَائِرٍ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whoever then commits a sin that is among the grave sins, he has exited, he has left iman. So to them, a major sin will expel you. The murji'ah say, whatever you do, as long as it's not kufr, it doesn't affect your iman. These ones say, you commit one major sin and you're outside of Islam. You're no longer a Muslim. لكن الخوارج يقولون إنه كافر. The Khawarij, they say he's a kafir. That's why they did takfir of the Sahaba, and they did takfir and they fought against them, and until today they do takfir of anyone whom they don't like. Specifically governments. They don't like a particular president, they give him the stamp of takfir ala tool. But there are conditions which need to be met before you do takfir. And we don't deny takfir. Yes, some people, you know, commit kufr, they're kufar. You have to say that. But there are prerequisites for that. There are prerequisites which I didn't get the chance to discuss in the lecture. Takfir, that's why we removed the whole thing. Because there's more to it. And we don't want to cause confusion among the average, the regular people. Because they may cause more fitna than solution. So we removed that video. Just in case you'd be wondering where's the takfir video, which was on YouTube. على كل حال, أيوة. والمعتزلة يقولون هو في منزلة بين المنزلتين. This is the bid'ah of the معتزلة. They say, look, the one who believes and commits a major sin, he's neither a believer nor a kafir. He's in a stage, in a zone, in between the two zones. فَلَا نَقُولْ مُؤْمِنْ. We don't say he's a believer. ولا نقول كافر. We don't say he's a kafir. بل نقول خرج من الإيمان ولم يدخل من الكفر. They say we say he exited إيمان but he never entered into كفر. So he got stuck somewhere in between. وصار في منزلة بين منزلتين. This is crazy. He's in an area, you know, it's like someone going on the way there and he's just stuck over there. But we don't have this in Islam. We have Iman and Kufr. And under Kufr we have Nifaq, major Nifaq and what have you. But we don't have someone who's stuck in between. Either you're a believer or you are a disbeliever. They say no. We don't say he's a believer, nor do we say he's a kafir. That's the bid'ah of the Mu'tazila. هذه أقوال الناس في الإيمان. These are the various statements of the groups or the people concerning Iman. To continue or not to continue. Okay.
Where do you find these people?
Oh, yes, brother. Yeah. See, if you usually these people are not the ones that you come across every other day, even though they exist. If you really want to know, look, if you want to know whether deviant people exist or not, just go online. Go online and you will see everything you want to see. You see them on Facebook, you see them on, they have their own channels, they have their own websites. You'll be shocked. And remember the where you live. You still, you know, you live, you reside in a country where by Allah's grace, to a large extent, most of the people have the sound aqidah. In terms of their application, sins, whatever, that's a whole other story. But in terms of the average person who's raised here, usually you won't find he has some shirkiyat, which, you know, usually we have in our home countries. So that makes a difference. Now you go to other places, and you go to Lebanon. I'm not going to send you far. Go to my country, perhaps half of the people are Murjia. Half of the people, if not more. The average Lebanese person, you see him, if you look at him, you will say he just came from France. He's not a Muslim in terms of his appearance. He doesn't pray. He doesn't fast. You tell him, yeah, Captain, you know, what happened? And you know, he will say, Wallah, my heart is cleaner than yours. My heart is purer than yours. My heart is white. I don't this and I don't that. He will praise him, you see. Say, you look like you're going on a one-way ticket to Jahannam, man. You're going to tell me that you are now is purer than all these people that are worshipping Allah night and day? That's the average Lebanese person in the Middle East. I don't know about Sri Lanka, I don't know about the India, Pakistan, I don't know. But in the Middle East, specifically there, it is very common for people to believe that these things are just shakliyat. These are just, you know, in fact they say that you're, you know, you show off. Your salah, your beard, all this, you're just trying to show off. The real sincere one is the one who doesn't do any of these things, you know? His iman is so sound, he doesn't need to pray, he doesn't need to anything. Ah, yeah. Ah, the murji are all over the place, akhi. They're all over the place. Allah musta'an. Ay, na'am. Idhan, wa qawluhu anna al-iman yazidu bil-ta'a wa yanqusu bil-ma'asiyah. Now this is here a very important belief or aspect of the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. Iman increases with obedience, decreases with sin. هذا معطوف على قوله أن الدين. This is here in conjunction with the earlier statement أن الدين, which is what? Let me see exactly what is it. Anyways, أي أن من أصول أهل السنة والجماعة أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص. One of the fundamental principles of أهل السنة والجماعة is that iman increases and decreases. ويستدلون لذلك بأدلة من الكتاب والسنة. They use as evidence for that proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah. فمن الكتاب, from the book, as in the Quran, قوله تعالى, فأما الذين آمنوا فزادتهم إيمانا وهم يستبشرون. Clear, explicit. As for those who have believed, فزادتهم إيمانا, it has increased them in faith, وهم يستبشرون, and they are looking forward, they are receiving the glad tidings for that which they were promised. So explicitly Allah says, فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 124. وَقَوْلُ تَعَالَى لِيَسْتَيْقِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَيَزْدَادَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِيمَانًا. So that the people of the book will attain certainty and those who have believed will be increased in belief. وَهَذَا صَرِيحٌ فِي ثُبُوتِ الزِّيَادَةِ. This is explicit in the affirming the increase in iman. وَأَمَّا النَّقْصِ, as for deficiency or decrease, فقد ثبت في الصحيحين. It has been affirmed or established in the صحيحين. What are the صحيحين?
Bukhari
Muslim. صحيحين from صحيح. صحيح because we have صحيح Bukhari and صحيح Muslim. And you have صحيح Tirmidhi as well. But the actual ones which are sound, صحيح Bukhari, صحيح Muslim, Imam Tirmidhi رحمه الله had a different manhaj in authentication and it requires further authentication of his book. Even though this Tirmidhi is one of the most unique books of hadith among the six al-kutub al-sitta, the famous books of Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, al-Nasa'i, Ahmad, Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and Bukhari and Muslim. Some of them add other books as well. They are more than that. Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, ila akhiri. Ala kulli hal, where was I? Naam. So sometimes they say muttafaqun, agreed upon, meaning agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. It's the same thing. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa'adha an-nisa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished women. Wa qala lahun ma ra'aytu min naqisati 'aqlin wa deenin adhhaba li lubbi ar-rajul al-hazim min ihdakun. I have never seen those who are deficient in intellect and deficient in their religion who have more ability to take away the mind of a very strong man more than you. Yani, you find a strong man in all aspects, in all regards, and a woman will ruin him. One woman will put an end to him and will drive him out of his mind, either by him chasing her or whatever. So here the Prophet ﷺ affirmed naqs al-deen. Of course the ulama explain this hadith. It is not as some people try to use it against women, what have you. But at the end of the day, the hadith explained it. Do they not refrain from salah when they have their cycle and fasting? Yeah, that's their naqs. That's their deficiency in their religion. You pray all the time. You're never excused. Women are excused. That's their deficiency in what? In their religion. What about their intellect? You need two female witnesses. If there's no male, because in fact they are less intellectual than men. End of story. They say this is not the case. It is. You know, men are more intelligent than women. That's the fact. Now, there may be some women who are more intelligent than many men. No doubt, there are always exceptions. There are some women stronger than many men. If she were to punch, 100 men, she would knock him out. That we say that women are stronger than men because there's a macho woman somewhere down the street? No. So this woman has her own issues. She's an exception to the rule. Otherwise, who's stronger by default? Men in their creation. Who's more sound, more relaxed, more someone who can make better decisions at the time of panicking? Men. Women freak out. They get emotional, they cry, they faint. She can't handle it. She just can't handle it. Men are able to deal with the situations better. And this is something that no two people should dispute concerning. إِذَنْ فَأَثْبَتَ نَقْسُ الدِّينِ. Prophet ﷺ is affirmed the deficiency or the decrease in their religious commitment. ثُمَّ لَوْ فُرِضَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ يُجَدْ نَصْفِ ثُبُوتِ النَّقْصِ. Let's assume, hypothetically, that there isn't a textual evidence which affirms the decrease in their iman or their religion. فَإِنَّ أَثْبَاتِ الزِّيَادَةِ مُسْتَلْزِمَ لِلنَّقْصِ. The mere affirmation of increase automatically necessitates affirmation of decrease. Once you can increase something, it means it can decrease. This is the opposites. There's no escape from that. فنقول كل نص يدل على زيادة الإيمان فإنه متضمن للدلالة على نقصه. Every textual evidence which suggests increase in iman is automatically suggesting decrease in iman itself. Because once it's the decrease established, because once it increases, if it doesn't remain, what happens? It will decrease. There's no escape. If it goes up, it has to go down. وأسباب الزيادة أسباب زيادة الإيمان أربعة. And that we will stop at. The next week, inshallah, if we remain alive and healthy, we'll be dealing with the four means through which you can increase your iman. Very important. Because we said before, in the very, very beginning of this book, mashallah, 386 pages ago, we said that we are, even though we're studying this aqidah, we do not want to approach it merely academically. It must affect our lives. It must increase our iman. We don't just want to, okay, I know, and then we remain misguided or sinful. We want it to affect our lives by Allah's will and leave. So next week, inshallah, we'll be dealing on how to increase our iman. بإذن الله. جزاكم الله خير.